It's time for three stories you should know. The NFL regular season is over. We're going to begin this week by examining some of the numbers in its wake. I'm joined by The Ringer's Claire McNear and The Wall Street Journal's Jason Gay. Welcome back to both of you.
Belle.
Hey.
Claire, your turn first.
Well, the results are in, and this year's NFL ratings were abysmal. League-wide viewership was down 9.7% over the 2016 regular season, which itself was down 8% from 2015. There have been a lot of theories about why there's been such a big drop-off, everything from cord-cutting to political turmoil to the rise of fantasy football. The one I find most persuasive is that this year we saw a stunning number of season-ending injuries to some of the league's biggest stars. Injuries took down Aaron Rodgers, Carson Wentz, Deshaun Watson, David Johnson, Richard Sherman, J.J. Watt, Julian Edelman, Odell Beckham Jr., the list goes on and on and on. So as we begin to think about the still far-off 2018 season, when most or all of these big stars will be back, do you guys think that things will get better for the NFL in viewership, or is the NFL trending downwards for good?
I mean, isn't it fair to say this is part of a broader shift that's happening to television overall? All you need to do to see what's happening out there is to watch television with someone under 25, because they don't really actually watch television anymore. Everything is just appointment tablet viewing. The whole idea of social media highlights and so on, you don't have to sit and watch a sporting event first quarter, second quarter, third. You don't miss anything now. The whole idea that you have to be on the couch for a certain hour of a certain day has radically changed, and that's affecting everything across the dial. I think, Claire, I mean, am I mistaken that primetime ratings for numerous kinds of shows, they're all down. So what explains Nickelodeon's drops? Aaron Rodgers getting hurt? I think this is a bigger thing going on.
Well, you may
here.
Be onto something there. So, Jason, you're suggesting that this horrifying and precipitous drop really has nothing to do with football at all.
I'm curious to hear what Claire thinks, but my take on it is that everyone's jumping in here a little bit and stirring the political pot. Of course, you have people who want to suggest that this drop is entirely due to the political protests that have been happening in the NFL. I don't buy that. It's a much more complicated situation. You look at the top 20 shows for 2017, I guarantee you two-thirds, if not more, of them will be football games. So as grim as things might be for the NFL internally, most leagues would kill to have those numbers. All leagues would kill to have those numbers.
I actually have that stat in front of me, and if NFL programming made up 33 of the 50 most watched programs in 2017.
I have to correct one thing that you said, Claire. I have not yet begun to think about the 2018 season.
Fair.
And you'll have a long wait until I do. But anyway, I just wonder, it seems to me that the reason that pro football became so popular has a lot to do with how brilliantly it was marketed over the years. I wonder if it's suddenly not being marketed as well. Have they done something badly that they used to do brilliantly? And does that, to some extent, explain the lower numbers?
Yeah, I mean, that's been a major defense by networks that are having to defend these ratings, saying that, you know, the product has been diluted, that there are too many games on Thursday or early Sunday morning in London, and there's just too much of it, so it's not really appointment viewing in the way that it used to be. But it is true, what Jason says is true, that ratings in primetime are down pretty much across the board, but there are exceptions. You know, NBA viewership is up 20% over last season. So it's not clear that this is just sort of a sign of the times for the NFL.
All right, we're going to stick with the NFL for my topic. Since the regular season ended, the Oakland Raiders have been accused, and I'm quoting now, of skirting the Rooney Rule. And that's the rule that stipulates that when you're hiring a new head coach, you have to interview minority candidates. Denver Broncos and the Los Angeles Chargers, meanwhile, have hired black coaches, which means that we now have 8 head coaches who are black in the NFL, unless one of them has been fired since I began the sentence. The Rooney Rule, which came into being in 2003, has been celebrated. It's also been mocked. Some black candidates have said, I'm not going to go through the charade of being interviewed because I already know they're going to hire the white guy. Some people feel that this rule is responsible for the number of black head coaches. 8 is pretty high historically for the NFL. Other people feel that the rule is a publicity stunt which enables the NFL to say, see, we care about such things as minority hiring. I think it's a shame that there is a need for such a rule, but I'm afraid that there is still a need for such a rule. And if anybody wants to suggest a better way to give minority candidates a fair shot at head coaching positions, I'm listening. Jason?
Yeah, I mean, I think what is the case here is the truth is somewhere in between, right? The reality is the NFL has a need to continue to widen its coaching candidate pool. And on the other hand, the rule is probably a little bit of this artificial construct that feels a little strange for teams, especially when they want to go out and grab one guy, as the Raiders with John Gruden. I do feel, however, you need devices in place to prevent something that happens in a lot of leagues and a lot of coaching searches, which is just recycling the same candidates over and over and over. I mean, that's something that's kept good African-American candidates from getting jobs, but also good candidates in general from getting jobs, because you're just doing all that recycling. And anything that gets them out of that loop, I'm in favor of.
Yeah, I mean, you know, either you care about the rule or you don't. And the Lions paid $200,000 in a fine when they did not interview minority candidates back in 2003. And, I mean, it's clear to anybody who's been paying just the slightest bit of attention to this that the Raiders had set their minds on Gruden. And, you know, there are reports that he's been hiring a staff even while they were in the midst of ostensibly interviewing other candidates. And apparently they're not going to be fined for it. But, I mean, it's, you know, it's either a token thing or it's not. And if it's a sham, call it a sham. And if Mark Davis can't afford the fine, maybe he could ask the good taxpayers in Nevada to spot him.
Well, I guess one advantage to the rule is even when a team knows exactly which white guy they're going to hire, if they have to call in a couple of minority candidates to interview, somebody notices that these guys have been interviewed. And then the next time around, maybe they get taken more seriously. I don't know if that is even excuse enough for the rule.
Yeah. I mean, you do feel sympathy for a good candidate who is feeling that they're getting brought in for this sham interview process. No one should be put in that kind of circumstance.
No.
Just for a look.
All right, Jason, let's not delay any longer. You really have an important message for us this week.
Yeah. Well, we got a big college football game Monday night, the national title game between the University of Georgia and the University, I believe it's Alabama.
I'd be surprised.
In Alabama. It's going to be crazy down there. The tickets cost as much as a Mercedes-Benz, and it's being played in the Georgia Mercedes-Benz Dome, the new dome down there in Atlanta. It's going to be crazy. And to make it just especially insane, look who's coming, the President of the United States, Donald Trump. And look, you know, we have a tradition in this country of presidents going to big-scale sporting events. I don't begrudge him that opportunity, but someone needs to tell the president, do you know how long a college football game lasts in 2018? It is insane. We now have games that begin shortly past 8 o'clock that drift way past midnight. This game is going to easily hit midnight, if I guess correctly, and I just don't know if the president is in for the long haul. Is it okay for him to leave after a quarter? Can he take a nap at halftime? Has anyone briefed him about the incredible creep of the college football experience in the last 10 years? I need to know.
Claire, I hope you can provide an answer. Jason sounds desperate.
Well, you know, I have not spoken to Trump's team about this,
oh.
But the last time he went to a college game, which was last year's Army-Navy game, I believe he did not stay the whole time. So he has a history of leaving early. And, I mean, Monday is going to be a long day for the guy. He's going to be in Nashville earlier in the day, and at 5 p.m. he's got the all caps, most dishonest and corrupt media
That's
awards.
That's right.
Are we in contention?
You know, I think we all might be. I'm not sure. I guess we'll find out. But, you know, it's going to be a long day, even if you're not a 71-year-old trying to get home in time for Hannity.
Exactly. Jason, I read your story on this topic, and it was very good. But you acknowledged in the story that watching another bowl game, you had fallen asleep. And so I can't really see how you can argue that a college football game is too long if it works that well as a sleep aid. If it was any shorter, you might not have gotten as much rest that evening.
This is true, but that's not what these games are supposed to be about, Bill. They're not supposed to be putting us to sleep. They're supposed to be thrilling us for generations.
No, they're
and,
supposed
you know,
to be
someone's
selling tires
say it,
and
Bill.
Beer.
Bill, someone, Claire, Bill, someone is going to say it. I'm going to say it. What about the kids? What about the kids? I mean, these kids, they have school the next day. They have to trudge through the snow if they live on the East Coast. And how do they possibly fall in love with the sport of college football if they can't even stay up to watch the national title game? You got to think about the kids, Bill and Claire.
Well, it's going to be a weekend of thinking about the kids, obviously. My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been the Wall Street Journal's Jason Gay. Thank you very much, Jason. You all right?
I'm just worried about the kids, Bill.
And the Ringer's Claire McNear. Thank you, Claire.
Great to be here.